I want to preach from 2 Timothy 2, verses 1 to 4, please. So if you'd like to open there. I've got a couple of scriptures that I'm going to quote, but this is the main one. 2 Timothy 2, 1 to 4 is my main scripture. I have a couple of others that I'll read, which you won't have to turn to. 2 Timothy 2, verses 1 to 4. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Paul talking to Timothy. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men. Hear that? To faithful men, who shall be able to teach others also. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who has chosen him to be a soldier. Wow. A lot of stuff in there, eh? I also want to, you notice there, Paul said to Timothy, commit these things to faithful men. Faithful. God is looking for faithful people, my friends. Proverbs 20 and verse 6, don't turn it for time's sake. I'll just read it out. This is what the Bible says about some things about faithfulness too. He says, most men will proclaim everyone his own goodness. Most men will proclaim everyone his own goodness. We're very good at telling everyone how good we are. But a faithful man who can find. That's in Proverbs 20 and verse 6. Proverbs 25 and verse 19 says, confidence in an unfaithful man in a time of trouble is like a broken tooth. Wow. And a foot out of joint. Confidence in an unfaithful man in a time of trouble is like a broken tooth and a foot out of joint. Let's pray and ask the Lord to help us to be encouraged today. Be encouraged. Thank you, Lord, for your scriptures. Thank you for these ones we just read, Lord. And we pray, Lord, that you will speak to each one's heart through these today, Lord, as we discuss them and expound them and think about them, Lord. We pray that your Holy Spirit will move upon the hearts of each person that's here, Lord, and speak to us, we pray. Speak to us, Lord, where we need to be spoken to. And also, Lord, we pray that you bless each one. Bless each faithful person who's come out today, Lord, to sit and hear your word preached. To be in church, fellowshipping with the saints, Lord, we pray for your blessing upon each one. Bless me too, Lord, and help me as I bring this message. Communicate it, good Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Today being a special day for Coastline Baptist Church, when we acknowledge our 11th anniversary, I want to bring a word of encouragement to those of us who are actually still here to celebrate that event. A word of encouragement to those of us who are still here to actually celebrate that event. Those of us who have remained faithful. In my estimation, our 11th anniversary is a fairly significant event, particularly when we consider how Coastline came into existence and how also it has continued, despite some of the adverse situations that we have found ourselves in during these 11 years. Situations which could very well have caused the demise of Coastline Baptist Church. Coastline could have folded on a number of occasions during our 11 years, but each time, faithful people have risen to the challenge. They've risen to the challenge enduring the difficult periods, expressly for the purpose of pleasing God. God has chosen us to be part of whatever it is He is intending to do with us individually and with our church corporately. And as we determine in our hearts to walk faithfully with Him, He will bring His intentions to pass. God's will be done, my friends. The title of my message today is Being Found Faithful. Being Found Faithful. And I want to briefly speak about how Coastline came into existence, a little bit of history, and also about how it has continued existing until our present day. I want us to recognise God's hand of blessing upon us, acknowledging how He has been faithful to us throughout these 11 years, and also how God has found a group of people among the many who have come and gone, who He has found faithful to Him. Without faithfulness on the part of God and faithfulness on the part of His people, Coastline Baptist Church wouldn't even have come into existence, let alone survive until our present day. In Proverbs 3:3-6, the Lord who is faithful tells us, let not mercy and truth forsake thee. He's talking to us. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the table of thine heart. So shalt thou find favour and good understanding in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. My favourite scripture, one of them. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. If we are faithful to God, he promises that he will be faithful to us. Is that what the Bible says? If we are faithful to God, he promises that he will be faithful to us. He says that he will be intimately involved in the affairs of our lives, sovereignly directing us and leading us along the paths of our lives towards whatever it is that he has got planned for us. Our part is to be faithful and obedient to truth, and to do whatever it is that he has instructed us in his word to do. It's one thing knowing what God says, it's another thing doing it. We need to do it. We are not to go by our own understanding, but we are to go by the Lord's understanding in all things. In all our ways, we are to acknowledge him, and he promises to direct us along the right paths for our lives. Is that what the Bible says? It does in mine. It does in mine, and I believe it. The paths that led to the foundation of Coastline Baptist Church came about because people were faithful to stand upon the truth of God's Word. A group of people were faithful to stand upon the truth of God's Word, and therefore Coastline Baptist Church came into existence. They wanted to stand on the truth rather than just go along with what was popular for the day, remaining neutral to avoid conflict while unbiblical teachings were being promoted in the Independent Baptist Church we formerly attended. There was false teachings being taught, and we weren't going to just sit there and take it, you see. So we did something about it. In our opening scripture of 2 Timothy 2, it is interesting to observe that immediately after Paul instructs Timothy to commit the doctrines and teachings he had learned to faithful men, Paul includes defending those truths as a soldier, enduring hardness and conflict as part of his faithfulness. In 2 Timothy 2:3 it reads, "Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ." Straight after he talked about faithfulness, he talked about being soldiers. If we are going to be faithful to the Lord, then out of necessity, there are going to be times when it will be necessary for us to stand up and fight and contend earnestly for the faith. If we are going to be faithful to the Lord and pleasing to him, then that is what is required. Verse 4 of 2 Timothy reminds us of our obligation. It reads, "No man that warreth entangleth himself in the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier." To please God, not to please man, to please God. Consequently, in 2005, just over 13 years ago, some of us separated from the former Independent Baptist Church we attended due to false teachings being promoted, as I just said. And we began meeting for fellowship and Bible study at my home, Colin and my place. Although there was pressure from some people in our original group to begin a new church at that time, claiming that we should invite other people to come and join with us, the idea was resisted because we wanted to remain faithful to God and do things according to his word. Oh, there was great pressure to start another church. We could have done that. We could have done that. But in both the books of 1 Timothy and Titus, the Bible clearly specifies the requirements for anyone who would presume to be called of God to the office of pastor, to shepherd his flock of sheep. No one in our small group qualified, according to the scriptures, to take that role. So therefore we prayed to God that he would provide us with someone who would qualify. Therefore, every week, as we met on the Lord's Day, we prayed for God to provide us with a pastor. We could have started our own church and just did our own thing, because go around all these churches in the city and find out how many of those pastors are remarried, or don't have their house in order, or got all sorts of things against them. And you'll find that most of them have got it. Most pastors today haven't got their children in subjection to them. They have not. If you don't have your children in subjection to you, you do not qualify as a pastor, according to 1 Timothy and Titus. So there was pressure to start another church. Oh, I'll be the pastor, handy. I've got the learning. But I haven't got the qualifications. My children weren't of subjection and I was a remarried man. So he couldn't possibly start another church under me as the pastor. And I can't be a pastor. And I don't ever want to be a pastor. I thought if God called me to be a pastor when I was in the AOG, because they let you get away with that. But when I discovered that, my dream of becoming a pastor ceased. Obey God. We need to obey God. Because we remained faithful, we prayed. I said, what we got to do, we got to pray for God to bring a pastor. Will I tell him what you said, Andy? And he said, how would that happen? Who's God going to bring? I said, I don't know. I do know, though, that if we pray according to God's will, he will bring leadership for us. Something will happen. So we've got to pray. Who's he going to bring? Where's it going to happen? How's it going to... We don't have to worry about all that stuff. All we've got to worry about is do our part. Pray. Pray. Pray for God to provide us a pastor. Anyhow, because we remained faithful to God, our small group, he was faithful to us. And after nearly 2.5 years of testing our faith, the Lord did provide us with a pastor. Consequently, praise the Lord, consequently on July the 1st, 2007, with Pastor Dan, the newly arrived shepherd of our group, we conducted the final Sunday meeting at our home. The week he arrived, we had one more meeting at our house. The following Sunday, July the 8th, 2007, the first official Coastline Baptist Church meeting service was held at Red Lynch Community Hall, with about 15 people in attendance, including Pastor Dan, Sandy and Selena, and also their son Doug and his wife Maya. And they had a little baby too. Alright, so about 15 people in attendance in our first meeting. During Pastor Dan's ministry, the church grew to about 70 or 80 people regularly attending the Sunday morning services. But because Pastor Dan was actually a missionary with BIMI and supported by them financially, after 5 years his time came to an end. In October 2012, BIMI recalled him off the mission field and back to America. Remember that? People were sad, crying, to see Pastor Dan go. And no provision was made for replacement to shepherd the church. So the big question, what should we do? We're going to be without a pastor. What should we do? Should we shut down the church because we're back in the situation we were in before Pastor Dan arrived? Maybe just all shut the doors and all go home. No more church. After much prayer, we believed that God was wanting us to remain faithful to his work here and to each other and to the church he initially led us to start. We were to keep the church functioning with a pulpit committee installed according to the requirements of our constitution. We can do that without having a qualified pastor. So we all committed ourselves to pray for the Lord to provide us with a pastor to replace Pastor Dan. And we set about letting our need be known far and wide. Bad move. Pastor Dan did that. I'm going to let all the independent Baptist churches in the world know you need a pastor here. Well, we had a flood of people wanting to come here and be our shepherd, but when we checked them out, no way, Jose. No way, Jose. There was a whole heap of people that are qualified pastors, independent Baptists, King James only, who wanted to come here and be our shepherd. But they couldn't, because they didn't qualify in the things that we believe. We don't believe in rock music. Amen? We don't believe in worldly entertainment to bring people into the church. There's a whole heap of things that are going on in independent Baptist churches that we don't agree with. A whole heap of Paul Chappell's men applied. Robert Bax had a couple of people that he tried to shuffle in here. We had to sort all that out and just remain faithful to God if we obey him that he would provide. And that's what we did. So, bad move to let everyone in the world know you need a pastor, because you'll have every pastor in the world that's looking for a church that can't find one somewhere else applying for the job. This time it's been different. I believe God will lead. God will lead someone. If he's got a pastor to come here, which I believe he has, God will lead him. We've had about two or three people in the time since Pastor James has left who have inquired and didn't qualify. One had a wife, he reckons she likes to wear trousers to the meeting. Well, we can't have that. We're against that. No. We've got people in our church that do, but they've been preached at not to, but they're not in leadership. Somebody that's in leadership has to set the example. We can't have the wife of the pastor getting around in trousers and shorts. No way. And he said, what about items, you know? Items in the services. We stick away from them too, because the time we did have items, they were all CCM. So we decided we're not having items either. Too dangerous. Too dangerous. So, despite our encouraging the people to remain faithful, nevertheless, during the following couple of months after Pastor Dan went, many of the people who had been evangelized by Pastor Dan and who had been regularly fellowshipping with us during the previous 5 years, they departed from our company. Many never to be seen again. However, a core group did remain faithful to God, and we committed ourselves to ensure that the church continued. We weathered that storm for just under 6 months. Those of you here, most of you were, you remember it. Some people were getting a little bit like impatient, but I said, just pray. Because we remained faithful to God, God showed his faithfulness to us when he answered our prayers and brought Pastor James to be the shepherd of Coastline. On our first Sunday service with Pastor James, Cindy and Joanna, it was on the 24th of March 2013. 24th of March 2013 was the first service Pastor James held here. Now, bit of controversy too. Pastor James had never pastored a church before. He was a young bloke, eh? We go, he'd be no good. We need somebody with a bit of, you know, experience. So there was a bit of, you know, a little bit of negativity there about Pastor James. He'd never pastored a church before, but he knew how to preach, and he knew the Word of God. He knew the Word of God, and he knew how to preach, and he applied it to his own life. And he was evangelistic and missionary-minded. Consequently, the church grew again. And some of those who had abandoned us when Pastor Dan left, they came back. And they found out, oh, we got a pastor. Some of them came back. Pastor James's main focus was on preaching the gospel and saving souls. That was his intention. He's a brand new pastor. He's going to build a church, you see, which is what a good shepherd should be doing. But he soon discovered that to be faithful to God and his calling to feed his sheep, there was another aspect of ministry in the end times that also needed attention. Thankfully for us, he recognised the need to also give some attention to warning about wolves coming in among the sheep to devour them. He got onto that very quickly. God got his attention on this unpopular subject through 1 Timothy 4:6 when he read, Pastor James read this scripture. He said, this is what convinced me, Huey. It reads, if thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, all the things that he'd learned, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished up in the words of faith and good doctrine, whereunto thou hast attained. Consequently, in 2015, he had us present a 12-month series on the subject of the apostasy of the last days. Remember that? Which was still posted on the church website. As the church walked in faithfulness to the preaching of the whole counsel of God, some people did leave, but the church grew to around 70 regulars again. We had about 70 turning up every Sunday. Unfortunately, after 4 years of great blessing, Pastor James and Cindy believed they were being called by the Lord to return to their ascending church in Sydney. And on Saturday, the 11th of June last year, 1 year and 1 month ago, we were again in the situation of being without a pastor, and the running of the church was again placed under the leadership of a pulpit committee. Now, I think most of us understand that with the departure of Pastor James and Cindy, in the same way that it did when Pastor Dan left, there would be a number of people who would leave. Some people only turn up because they like the pastor. He's evangelized them, and they turn up religiously because they like him. Those people leave. They're the first ones to leave. When a pastor leaves, they're the first ones to go. But in an attempt to reassure our people not to be disappointed and downhearted, but to trust that God knew what he was doing, even if we didn't. Therefore, the first message I preached after Pastor James departed was called, Abide in the Ship. In that message, I rallied the people in our congregation to remain faithful to God, to each other, and to Coastline Baptist Church, and not to jump off the ship just because it seemed like we were in a bit of a storm. What we needed to do was not lose heart, but pray that the Lord would intervene and trust the Lord's promise that as we remain faithful to Him, He will be faithful to us. And in His time, and according to His purpose, He will provide us with what we need. You believe that? Yes. Good. I think you all must, because you wouldn't be here still. You wouldn't be coming every Sunday. I say, praise the Lord for faithful people. In Philippians 4:4-7, you can turn to this one, please. Philippians chapter 4. Paul encourages us in Philippians 4:4-7. A word of encouragement here for us. Philippians 4:4-7 says, encouraging message, rejoice in the Lord always. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Hey, God is at hand. The return of the Lord Jesus Christ is at hand, my friends. Be careful for nothing. Worry about nothing, in other words. But in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And what happens from that? And the peace of God which passes all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. We'll have peace. Even though we don't have what we think we want, we should have peace when we trust what God is doing. In verse 19, Paul closes with God's sure promise. He says, and my God shall supply all your needs according to His riches in Christ Jesus. That's not just talking about money and food, it's talking about our requirements for a pastor too. All of our needs. Despite our appeal to the people to remain on Coastline Ship and be involved in whatever it might be that God intends to bless us with if we do, in the 12 months since Pastor James and Cindy left, for various reasons, a number of people have separated from our company. They're not all here today, are they? All the people who were turning up when Pastor James was here. No, they're not here. But as we have determined to keep the church biblically focused, resisting the temptation to introduce programs that would attract numbers so that we might appear to people on the outside as though the church is a success and not a failure, we have stood strong against the compromise, and have defended Coastline Baptist Church against the flood of apostasy that is sweeping through many of the professing churches of the world. 2 Thessalonians 2, 1-4 prophesies a time in history. You can turn to this one too, please. 2 Thessalonians 2, verses 1-4, prophesies a time in church history that occurs just prior to the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. We live in that period of time, my friends, when professing Christians will be abandoning the sound doctrines of the Scriptures. Instead, they will be following after false teachers who will preach messages which bring assurance rather than conviction for their sins. In 2 Thessalonians 2:1-4, we read, now I beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together unto Him, that ye be not soon shaken in mind or be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter, as from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day, the return of the Lord, shall not come, except there come a falling away first, an apostasy from sound doctrine. And the man of sin will be revealed, the Antichrist, he's the son of perdition, who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped. During this time, we are never going to attract a crowd of either new converts or genuine believers who are looking for a church where sound doctrine is being preached and entertainment is not being used as an enticement. But as we have prayed and sought God to preserve our church as a refuge, as a beacon of light in the increasing spiritual darkness, God has added some people to our company who share our determination to remain faithful to Him in this wicked age. Despite that some people have left, some people have come. And some of them have stayed. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. They're looking for what we're looking for. All this nonsense that's going on in so-called churches is not real. It's not the real thing. So much false religion everywhere. They're looking for somewhere where just the word of God is preached and we can be strengthened in our faith. Amen? So on this 11th anniversary of Coastline Baptist Church, and after 13 months without a pastor, things appear to have levelled out. And we are left with the existing core group who have been regularly turning up on the Lord's Day for about the last 6 months. This is the group of people who have remained faithful, despite that the Lord, for His own reasons, has not bought us a new pastor. We've remained faithful. We've got a core group of people here who turn up every Sunday, remaining faithful to the Lord, even though He hasn't bought us a new pastor, for His own reasons, we don't know what it is. We are more or less being forced to stand on our own two feet and band together in a united effort, upholding the banner of truth in the face of the enemies of the church, to hold the fort until the Lord either brings us new leadership or He raptures us to heaven for the marriage supper of the Lamb. Amen. I don't know what God is doing. I know what I'm doing. I can see what most of you people are doing too. And you're doing the right thing, remaining faithful. Stand strong. Stand against the apostasy. Don't get lured away. Amen? And God will bless. We don't know what He's got up His sleeve. I haven't a clue. But I know what we got to do. Anyhow, whichever way God is going to do things, we can be assured that He has not abandoned a group of people who, with His help, are wanting to walk in obedience to Him. God won't abandon us while ever we want to walk in obedience to Him. While ever our hearts desire to serve and honour God and to acknowledge Him in all our ways, He has promised in Proverbs 3:6 that He will direct the path that our feet walk along in this life, which includes both our lives individually and also our lives corporately in the church. During this time, God is proving us to see whether we truly will be found faithful to Him and His church when things get a bit hard. Are we going to give up, or are we going to keep going? In one of our opening scriptures in Proverbs 20 and verse 6, we read God's opinion about some people who say that they love God and that they are His servants, but in reality they aren't. The apostate church in our day is full of people who fit this description. God tells us in Proverbs 20 and verse 6, I read it out before, most men will proclaim everyone his own goodness, but a faithful man who can find? Plenty of people tell you how good they are, but God says, a faithful man who can find? Lots of people will attempt to impress everyone by their outward show and self-proclamation that they are truly God's people in the earth today. But they are found to be not truly faithful according to God's word. In fact, they disobey God. They are in reality a picture of the man found in Proverbs 25:19, another of our opening scriptures this morning where we read, confidence in an unfaithful man in a time of trouble is like a broken tooth and a foot out of joint. Hey, apply that to our church situation throughout the world today. Confidence in an unfaithful man. When all this false religion is coming upon the church and people aren't staying faithful to God, that's why we've got churches full of heresy. God says, a time of trouble is upon the church and men aren't being faithful. Men and women. Mankind is not being faithful. He says they're like a broken tooth or a foot out of joint. Have you ever had a broken tooth? And if you've ever had a broken tooth with the nerve exposed to the elements, or you've had some part of your body out of joint, then this is what God says unfaithful people are like to Him. Today, as we celebrate 11 years since the Lord raised up Coastline Baptist Church, when He committed the foundation of building the church to faithful people, people who have remained in fellowship to continue the work to this day, and as we determine in our hearts to be committed to each other and faithful to continue that work, that we may please Him who has chosen us to be, for this purpose, then, even though we really deserve nothing from God, nevertheless God promises that He will be faithful to us. As we remain faithful to God, He promises He will remain faithful to us. This morning I want to close with a scripture that is relevant to our situation at Coastline Baptist Church. And it's found in Lamentations chapter 3, verses 22 to 25. Lamentations comes after Jeremiah. The book of Lamentations, chapter 3. We're going to close with this. Lamentations 3, verses 22 to 25 is relevant to our situation at Coastline Baptist Church today. Written by the prophet Jeremiah, expressing the love of God for his people, the Bible records, verse 22, "It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not." It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. New every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, saith my soul. Therefore will I hope in him. I will hope in him. The Lord is good unto them that wait for him, to the soul that seeketh him. Hey, if your soul's seeking God, you'll be found of him. I was telling one person today. If you're seeking after God with your whole heart, you'll find him. The Lord is my portion, saith my soul. Therefore will I hope in him. Our hope is in the Lord, my friends. The Lord is good unto them that wait for him, to the soul that seeketh him. As we determine to walk faithfully with the Lord into whatever the future might hold for us at Coastline, as we seek after him, put our hope in him, and wait upon him, despite whatever the outcome might be, we can be assured that our God is a compassionate God. He knows our situation, and his faithfulness is guaranteed. Psalm 89 and verse 2 declares of God, "Thy faithfulness shalt thou establish in the very heavens." Psalm 89 and verse 2 says that about God. "Thy faithfulness shalt thou establish in the very heavens." As we fellowship together today over lunch, celebrating God's goodness to us over the past 11 years, and looking forward to whatever it is he has in store for us in the future, let us be mindful of the fact that if we will be found faithful to God, we can be assured that God will be found faithful to us. Amen? Let's close in prayer.